Revelation 16, verse 13 to 17, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 to 11.
Revelation 16, from verse 13. And I saw, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits, performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world, to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple and from the throne, saying, "It is done." And then we turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware of the day that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, "There is peace and security," then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing.
Our text verse is Revelation 16, verse 16. They assembled them at a place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. That's our topic as well, Armageddon. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week I mentioned in the sermon that I will continue this week with the great war at Armageddon, the effect of the seventh bowl that was poured out on earth. Just to summarize last week's sermon, we don't know when the Lord will return. Only the Lord knows, and it was not given for us to know the exact time or date. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 to 11, the Apostle Paul answers the curiosity of the congregation about when the Lord will return with a quote from Matthew 24, verse 43. Now, Lord Jesus Christ said it again in Revelation 16. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in which part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Jesus said, "I will come as a thief in the night." Revelation 16, verse 15. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And so the Apostle Paul explained this in 1 Thessalonians 5, that the world in general will be ignorant. They will still continue eating and drinking, continue in their sinful ways. They will be saying peace and security, They will be so busy with their daily living that they will ignore the many signs of the Lord's second coming. They will ignore the earthquakes that's becoming more frequent, the floods, the rumors of wars and wars like we are experiencing now, the great apostasy, where people will be lovers of themselves. But then the Apostle Paul comforts, but you, brothers, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. And so the book of Revelation, it's a book of comfort to all believers that the Lord is in control of all the hardship that we are enduring and that we needed to endure in the last days before our Savior returns. And we are given an insight when all things will be over in Revelation 16 verse 17. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And so Revelation chapter 16 describes the final seven plagues on the unrepentant humanity when everything will be over. Revelation 11, where there will be no preaching of the gospel anymore. No time to repent after the seventh bowl. Last week we heard in verse 12 that a sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and that the water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. And behind it is the Lord who is in control of nature. And it all prepared a way when the kings of the east will rise up to make war for a final time against the Lamb at the mountain of Megiddo. Then it will be over. Before we go to verse 17, I want to stand still at verse 15. Revelation 16 verse 15, the Lord warns the believer, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays away, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." And Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6, "So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober." Believers should be ready. And the clothes that verse 15 is talking about is the clothes that are washed in Jesus' blood. Be prepared, be sober. Expect the Lord. When Armageddon will be, when our Lord Jesus Christ return, only the Lord knows. The day and the hours are known. But what should we do as the Lord's church in the meanwhile? The Lord tells us in no uncertain times that we should be on guard. Be alert. You don't know when the time will come. And to be on guard is to expect Jesus on any given day or moment. Jesus explained it very clearly in Mark 13 verse 34. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. That watchman of this morning's sermon, that Nehemiah appointed as well, to keep watch, waiting for the morning star, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation to arise. And we should keep watch, because we don't know when the time is when Jesus will return. Let me give you a practical example. When a student understands the exact date and hour of an exam, the temptation is to leave it to the last minute. But when a teacher tells you that you need to be prepared, because on any day you could expect an exam, then that student is living in the shadow of the exam and will be more likely to prepare. And so it is with Jesus' return as well. We do not know the exact hour and minute. Therefore, we need to be on guard, alert, and expect the Lord any day. I also want to remind you of the parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. five of them only for of the festival. But for God, their main task to live to the glory of the Lord, the groom, and wait for his return. And they took their lamps, but took no oil with them. Out of five, the wise virgins took oil cans with them to receive the bridegroom. The oil that was meant there is the assurance of faith, the love of God and our neighbor, and the desire to hear the preaching of God's word. They were on alert. The use of the sacraments, our prayers, and to feed their thirsty souls from the word of God. They expected the groom. And then the groom lingered. In their minds, a long time passed, and everyone fell asleep. For some, it was too late. This is a reminder for us as well, that we should be awake, be sober, expect the Lord. Let us be on guard, the Lord warns, knowing that we can expect the Lord any day, not be found naked. And the Lord reminds us in Revelation 15. And after this comfort and command to be ready in verse 15, the work of the demonic spirits are described in verse 16. How they assemble themselves at Armageddon. I'm going to explain these verses together, verses 13 and 14. We read about three unclean spirits like frogs. These spirits were demonic spirits. And they kept themselves busy, preparing for the great war at Megiddo. They were coming at the mouth of the dragon, the Antichrist and the false prophets, like I explained earlier this year, the unholy Trinity. And it's a symbol, the fact that they come out of the mouth of their devilish propaganda. They are seducing the people to be loyal to the Antichrist. The fact that they are compared with frogs references the second plague in Egypt, Exodus 8 verse 1. And their propaganda, like this, frogs will be everywhere. They are calling people to prepare for the great war against the Lamb. How can we apply this? And I thought to apply it as this, that media, social media and other propaganda that we hear today are everywhere. Not all, don't get me wrong. Social media is from the devil. But some media have a common purpose. It is everywhere. And we have allowed the media in our bedrooms. We allow our children to participate in social media. TikTok, they call it. Or the Kardashians. And it's the newest models and the newest trend. And this is how we should dress. And if you read the media carefully, it appears that there's a common agenda and a message that proclaim everything is valid. Also that we should accept people and their sins as they are. Also they announce a woke culture of human rights. What is this news that governments and values are attacked? According to the word of God, some say the problem is Western civilization. We need to be a society that's awake. Get out from our slumber. And we should confess that we are the oppressors. We are oppressing all the marginalized people from society. Feminism matters. And Western people, especially Western men, you are the problem. And there's a warning as well. If you don't obey, obliged, there will be a revolution. If you do not accept the world's truth, change your inclusive language, conform to the world, there will be more and more riots and eventually a big revolution or a battle. Governments, churches, parents, the police, all authorities need to accept that they are the problem and they need to change so that people can become free and decide what is good for them. Propaganda for the beast. And the propaganda and warnings are there. The Euphrates is drying up, preparing for the great war at Megiddo. And now the revolution will happen. Armageddon is about to take place. A great army is assembled. And they came together at Megiddo or Har, Megiddo. This means the mountain of Megiddo. This was a very famous battlefield, was known where God gave the victory over his enemies in passages like Judges 5 verse 19, 2 Kings 9 verse 27, Zechariah 12 verse 11. The name is symbolic that the Lord will give victory of this mighty army. Judges 5 verse 3 and 20, the judge Deborah praised the Lord after a battle. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord. I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. From heaven the stars fought, from their courses they fought against Sisera. And so the kings of the world, the armies of this world think they have power in this world. They think they can establish peace on earth through war. We hear claims with this, the war between Russia and Ukraine. But all these leaders don't realize that the Lord is in control. It's the Lord who opens up all the way for the battle. The Lord who dries up the great river Euphrates. And it's also he who will lead the kings of the world to the final battle at Armageddon. And the end of the world will come. The seventh bowl will be poured out, and a loud voice will come from the temple, from God's throne, saying, "It is done." And the seventh bowl is God's judgment, God's wrath on the evil forces on the earth. And so this will be explained in the following passages in the coming weeks, God's wrath. Revelation 16 verse 17 to 21, when the seventh bowl is poured out, that's today's passage. Revelation 17, the great prostitute and the beast. And Revelation 18 verse 1 to 24, the fall of Babylon. Today's passage, we read that the end of the world has arrived when the seventh bowl was poured out. It will be introduced with great acts of nature, flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there never had been since man was on earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city Babylon, which we will hear about more next week, was split into three parts. And all the cities of the nations fell. God remembered Babylon the Great to make it drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away. No mountains were to be found. Great hailstones, about 50 kilograms each, will fall from heaven on people. They will curse the Lord for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. Nothing of the unrepentant world will be left. The sad refrain that we will hear when all these things, God's judgment, is happening, that there will be no repentance. We see this as well with all the floods that were unfolded. How people blamed the government and did everything to blame the government, but they did not repent. And so the Lord is warning the nations of this world and his church to be ready. Every day, every hour and minute brings us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. Isaiah 60 verse 22, "I am the Lord, in its time I will hasten it." Be on guard, be alert, be busy with the work of the Lord. The Lord says, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief in the night." Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that they may not go about naked and be seen exposed. But also be comforted when you suffer in the last times. Be comforted when you are persecuted for the Lord's name. And remember, our salvation came through the suffering of the Son of God. What hope is there for one who does not trust God and reject Jesus? Unbeliever will suffer. Their suffering will be eternal in eternal hell, where they will spend eternity, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. But the good news or gospel is that God gave his Son so that we could be with him. Christ did it through his death. Christ and all his benefits come to us through faith alone. And if we won't trust in him, what do we have? Apart from Christ, we have nothing. But in Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8. And to trust and believe in Christ is to be born again to a living hope. To have faith in Christ is to have forgiveness and the love of the Father. And we don't always see and we don't always understand things clearly. But we need to know the Lord's word. And all these things will come in our understanding as it happens. These realities are hidden to us. Suffering sometimes clouds our thoughts as well, make us afraid. But what God is asking from us is to trust him in difficult times. Jesus is in control. He is head of his church. And the gates of hell will never overcome his church. What does God expect you to do in these days? Should you fight and defend yourself by any means necessary? Now think about our Savior when he suffered what he did, how he prayed to his Father. Think on how God used suffering to refine us, how we've been united with Christ in his suffering and his resurrection life. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 4 verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will and trust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Continue, Peter said. Stand firm, Peter said. Stand firm in the Word. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Do not be seduced by the evil propaganda of this world. And Apostle Paul concluded the passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 with these words. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. Stand firm. Be on guard. Be alert. Jesus is coming. Entrust your future to our loving God and continue being faithful as his church. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, when we hear about the day of the Lord, your day, and the day our Lord Jesus Christ will come, prophesied by so many prophets, like Joel, we are sometimes scared. But you assure us that we will not be found naked because of the righteous clothes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we were assured this evening as well that we share in him with the signs of the bread and wine, that Jesus is the host, and that we will also eat on that day the heavenly meal. Father, we look forward to this day. Therefore, we thank you for your word and your spirit that lead us through your word, that assure us and strengthen our faith through the sacraments, to be ready, to be on alert. Lord Jesus, amen.